welcome you to this place. We worship you, Lord. Nothing you cannot do. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. Hallelujah, stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you in all the earth. There's no one like you, presence. There is nothing. There is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah. Stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. No one like you, Lord. faithful God. Yes, you're a good God. Oh, you're a faithful God. Oh, you're a good God. Oh, you're a faithful God. Yes, you're a good God. Oh, you're a faithful God. Oh, you're a good God. Oh, you're a faithful God. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. For you do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. Oh, you're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. Oh, you're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. For you're a faithful God, awesome is your name. You unravel me. Thank you.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Jesus, Lord, thank you for wonderful deliverance from fear and for the grace to rest. You said to our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, sit until I make all of your enemies your footstool. When we are restless, we are not trusting. But Lord, today we thank you, God, for the wonderful grace of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. This wonderful privilege to rest at your feet and to know, God, that you have taken charge of everything that concerns us. So this day we rest and we mimic you in the proclamations and declarations of grace as we say this day, uproot everything that needs to be uprooted out of our lives. So, Lord, oh God, you can plant what you want to plant. There shall not be anything to compete with that which you have established. You alone shall be Lord, Savior, and Redeemer forever. Fear shall not take any space in our lives, for you, the faithful God, are doing greater and greater things yet in us, with us, through us, and by us. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you all here, and those of you that are listening online, we welcome you. We thank God for his grace on your life and for the wonderful privilege that we have today to experience the goodness of God together. I believe it was last week that I was sharing a message about the tale of two worlds. Well, sometime, I believe it was last year sometime, we started talking about the return to Eden. And that God, what we lost was Eden. We did not lose heaven, we lost Eden. And Eden, the word Eden stands, means pleasure. So in essence, what we lost was true godly pleasure. And God wants us to be pleasured again. And The place of pleasure is the place of faith. The place of faith is a place of rest. And all the enemy wants to do is cause us to be restless, cause us to live in the world of worry, cause us to live in the world of insufficiency, cause us to live in a world of incompetence, cause us to live in a world where we feel like we don't measure up. And that's the lie that the enemy spoke into the spirit of Adam and Eve. You don't measure up. God is denying you the grace, the ability, the capacity to be capable. He's making you less. But all the while, God was making us exactly what he wanted, to be like him. I am thrilled by the word of God that tells us about what atonement is. The Bible tells us that the word in the Old Testament, atonement means to cover, to, in a sense, is to live in a world of fake. You say, what do you mean, the world of fake? It's a pretend world because God is saying, you're okay, but you're really not okay. He's just hiding it. But in the New Testament, it's not the word for covering. It's a word, it's a banking word of equal value. It's not no longer the word kafar, it's the word katalage, meaning that God is calling us to a place of equal value. Now, if you don't get it this way, that Jesus is God. And the price that God paid for exchange, for redemption, my redemption, was the price of God himself. So that gives me the value of that price that was paid. Somebody shout hallelujah. He gave me his value and then calls me a joint heir. That the love that the Father has for him, the same love God has for me. Wow, that's incredible. God loves me like he loves Jesus. I didn't die on the cross. I didn't die for the whole world. I wasn't the one who went through all of that. And he loves me exactly like he loves Jesus. Yes. My Lord. Well, because when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. When he rose again from the dead, I rose with him. When he ascended, I ascended with him. When he sat down, I sat down with him. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, and he sat down far above all principalities, all powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He sat down. He rested. And Father says, son, sit down. I'll take care of the rest. Hallelujah. And what is the rest that God is taking care of? God is taking care of the rest of uprooting everything that is resisting the glory of his son being made manifest in my life, in your life, in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our finances, in our health. Anything that is trying to contradict the word of God, God says, I'm uprooting it. Hallelujah. I was so excited when I was here this morning early, you know, just talking to the Lord. And I heard myself saying, operation, uprootion. I said, oh, that's a new word. I know that's not a word. I said, that's a new word. He said, That's the title for the message today. I said, okay, operation, uprootion. Oh, I said, you must be wanting to uproot something. He said, yes, son, I'm ready to uproot something. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready to uproot something. I said, but Lord, the message that I'm going to be preaching, I preached it already. It says, preach it again. Prophesy it again. Sihon and Og are coming off. That which is stopping you from fulfilling your mandate must come down, because you must cross over this Jordan. You see, when you cross over this Jordan, you come to the place, the Bible tells us, where you receive the double portion. You see, because the Word of God tells us that Elijah and Elisha crossed over. They crossed over from the side of Jericho to the side where Og and Sihon were. And that's where the man of God, Elijah, was caught up. He didn't die. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing me yet. I said he did not die. Oh, let me say it again. He did not die. These are the days that we will not die until we see the manifestation of the glory of God. Anything that needs to be uprooted will be uprooted. But let me tell you something, child of God. Let me tell you. In this place, we must not allow any distraction. This is a time of total focus. If you are not going to be part of that which is uprooted, you must be a focused individual. Jesus set his face like a flint. So I'm going to Jerusalem, and there was nothing that was going to stop him. Hallelujah. He was pressed for time. Hear me. He was what? Pressed for time. Now, he was going to fulfill the word of God. But while he's pressed for time, he comes to a city called Jericho. And the Bible tells us on one side of Jericho there was a blind man. And the man started to cry out because he heard that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was coming through. And the man was focused, and the crowd said, shut up. And the man cried out louder yet until Jesus stopped and said, what do you want? The man had thrown off his license to beg. It's like the state where we are today. The world wants us to beg, but no, we are not going to carry the license of a beggar. He came and Jesus says, what do you want, man? He says, I want to see. He says, you got it. He comes into town, and there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, a government official. This man had been cheating everybody, messing around with everybody. But the Bible says this man that was so hated by the community because of the kind of job that he was doing, a supporter of the Roman government, because he was collecting money for the Romans, taxing the people of God and overtaxing them. This man heard that Jesus was coming to town. He takes off in spite of all the dangers facing him. In spite of what was going to happen, he was walking straight on to death. This was his COVID-19. He goes in there and he climbs up a sycamore tree. And Jesus is coming. And of all the trees and of all the people that are climbing trees all over the place, he stops at the tree where this man was. And he says, come down. Today we're going to chow together. You see, because Jesus will, when he knocks at the door of your heart and you open for him, he's going to eat with you. He's going to sup with you. He's going to fellowship with you. Hallelujah. So they come out of that situation. That was the second blind man, because he's short. He was not physically blind, but the crowd creates blindness for him. But he said, I'm going to see. I want to see Jesus. The blind man on this side, I want to see this Jesus. Now, Jesus wants to go to Jerusalem, and here are all these people slowing him down. Because Jesus will stop. You know why he will stop? Because there's no way he's going to miss his timing. Even if he has to push the fast forward button to get to where he needs to get to in a split second, he's going to do it. He finishes from there and he comes to the other side, and here is the son of Timaeus. You see, all these things happened all around Jericho. Yeah, it's all in the Bible. And on this side, there wasn't just one, there were two of them. We just know about the one called the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. There is two of them. He gets there, and there is the crowd again. The crowd, the multitude, always want to stop you, always want to distract you, always want to cause you not to be focused on what you want and get God to line up with you as you line up with him. This man, this was his last opportunity too. And what is he doing? He hears all this commotion. He hears that this is Jesus of Nazareth. I'm sure the other blind man from the other side is coming. Hey, over on the other side, I was blind just like you. And I yelled, and I didn't allow anybody to stop me. And the master stopped for me and healed me. You and I are going to have testimonies that will encourage other people. Say, I've been there. I've had all this pressure. The people, the multitude pressing on me and telling me I had no right. You should be quiet. No, but I kept on shouting and crying. And sure enough, just like the man on the other side of Jericho, Bartimaeus takes off his jacket and he comes to Jesus, and he too got his miracle. So, Pastor, where are you getting at? I'm saying God is going to uproot some things out of our lives. And one of the things that he has to uproot from my life and from your life is the fear of man. The fear of man. What is going to happen if I do the right thing? That fear, today, in the name of Jesus, you are dead and you are uprooted from the body of Christ. We will be the people of God that stand for something, and we will not keep our mouth shut until we get the results that God says we can have. We shall see. We shall behold him as he is. And as he is, we shall behold him. And as we behold him, we shall find out that we are exactly the way he is. A people of power, anointed by the Spirit of the living God, the spirit of fear, the fear of man, the fear of lack, the fear of friends, the fear of whatever. It must die from the body of Christ. It must die from our families. It must die from our churches. It must die. That spirit must be crushed and eradicated so that we understand that we are not meant to fit with the crowd. We are meant to fit in with God. I will fit in with God. Hallelujah. And in God, there is total fruitfulness. Hallelujah. We talked about this morning how
Moses began to declare from the place called Paran in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the place of caverns, caves, and Tophel, white or quagmire. That's the state of confusion. What am I supposed to do? You know, you see, when you get rid of the quagmire, the confusion, and you are focused, then you get to see the double portion, the greater. And for us as believers, the double portion of the Spirit of God is the double portion of that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about. That when he gets to go up, we are going to do greater things. The church has been denied the capacity to do the greater thing. The church has been told over and over and over and over and over again, you're dead. Today, your master is going to be taken away from you, and then what are you going to do? The church is faced with all kinds of deceptions. And here comes this man of God, Elijah and Elisha, and they cross over. And when they cross over, God does something. Something that I would not expect that God will do. That's what you and I need to be concerned about. Told him, Elijah told Elisha, if you see me being taken up, then you can get this double portion. This is a hard thing, he says. A hard thing for whom? A hard thing for you, Elisha. There comes this fancy chariot of fire, and it separates Elijah from Elisha. But Elisha keeps his eyes peeled, will not even allow the fancy, wonderful, this kind of experience. I've not seen it before. He says, no, I want the double portion. And the man said, If I see him, I get to have the double portion. Here comes this alternative, separating them. And the man looks past this new fancy, wonderful looking chariot of fire. His eyes are peeled onto Elijah. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, the whirlwind picked up Elijah. So why was this chariot of fire there? If he's not going up with a chariot of fire like we have here, if he's not going up with a chariot of fire, why is there a chariot of fire? Because here, in this stage that we are in God, God wants you and I to be so focused on him that we do not allow ourselves to be bought over and bribed by little crumbs falling around. So in Tophel, white, quagmire, he's pronouncing the words of God. In Hazaroth, the place of settlement. And Dizahab is the place of enough gold. This is bribery. Where you settle because you got gold and say, oh, this is what I need. Oh, the devil played that game. Came to Jesus. Just turn these stones and make them bread. Just bow down to me and I'll give you what you came here. You came for the kingdoms of this world, right? Just look at it. I'll give it to you. It's mine. I'll give it to you. All you need to do is bow down to me. Jesus, our Lord, focus. I am not going to tap into what I came here for, going through a shortcut. Anytime you follow the ways of the enemy, you push onto the button of shortcuts. If you're going to experience the fullness of God, then you're going to have to break out of the limitations of, if I don't do this now, then it's going to be too late. No. You are meant to connect with a God who moves supernaturally, rapidly, and accomplishes everything he wants to accomplish. Abraham went the shortcut, and we had Hagar and Ishmael. Until this day, we've got problems. But did you know that in his old age, 100+ man that was dried up had many more children? That Abraham had many more children after he had Isaac? Because when God restores your fruitfulness, you continue to be fruitful. There's no stopping this. Hallelujah. Never shut yourself down by believing that you are too old to accomplish what God said you're going to accomplish. God does the greater. Hannah waited and 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 waited for a child until she locked in into this idea. Hey, I'm going to give to God what he wants if he gives to me what he needs. And so she came to God right there when Eli is saying, this woman is drunk and accusing her. She was busy muttering on to God and saying, God, I see as I look around, you need a prophet. Because Samuel's sons are acting crazy over there, Hophni and Phinehas. So, I need a child. So now, this is the deal. If you give me the child, you get your prophet. And God says, I like that deal. There he is, Samuel. And the Bible says that immediately she starts celebrating. As soon as she heard a word. Listen, the Bible says that she was talking to God. Eli pronounces that the blessing is coming from God. But she said, the blessing is coming from you, Eli. Confusing. I don't want to start going through every verse right now, but go to 1 Samuel and you get all the information I'm talking about. What is this? What is God trying to address here? He was eradicating one fundamental issue. We've talked about uprooting fear of man and any kind of fear. But the next thing that must be eradicated, uprooted from the body of Christ, is the root of dishonor. Not recognizing what God is doing in the earth. You might see an Eli and say, Eli, you are done for. Oh, but Hannah saw beyond that and said, if God's hand has been here, he's going to continue because God is not a quitter. Hallelujah. So she received her miracle. The Bible tells us about Laban, Hazarat, and Dizahab. And then the Bible tells us, as we talked about this morning, about how they came through Horeb, Mount Seir, Kadesh Barnea, and they encountered Sihon, who was the seer, who lived in a stronghold called Heshbon, and how they defeated Og, long-necked one, who lived in Bashan, the place of fruitfulness, lived in the land of Ashtaroth, the land of the fertility god, and Edrei, goodly pastures. In Lebanon, and then he talked about the river Euphrates. This morning, I told you about how Euphrates was about fruitfulness. All that the enemy is trying to deny the people of God of. And these had to be uprooted first. The strong man has to be uprooted, removed, so that you can spoil his house. What house? How come he has a house? I thought the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yes, it is. But God gave it to man. And here comes the devil and snatches it off of man. And then the devil became the god of this world. The devil became the god of this world because man was the god of this world. Man was placed here to be God over it. And the devil took it. He was just an angel. And now he snatches it off by deception because they did not stay focused on the word of God. And so they thought, power cometh from the tree. Power cometh from the fruit of this tree. No, all power comes from God. And there are people today who are pursuing forces, powers, energies, all kinds of things out there, thinking that power comes from that tree. Power comes from that marine spirit. Power comes from that drug. Power comes from this, and so on and so forth. And they trade their souls for false gold. Fake gold, temporary things. But what God had in his mind was the Euphrates. Euphrates means fruitfulness. But it also has a secondary meaning. And the secondary meaning of Euphrates is breaking forth speedily, rushing. A very similar word to the word hiddekel, which means rapid. Euphrates, and when God came to Euphrates, he did not put any boundaries around it. Because God is calling us to a place where there's no boundaries, no limitations to the move of God that he's going to bring upon our lives. We are the people of God. I prophesy this day in the mighty name of Jesus. The limits are taken. They are uprooted. God is expanding you and I to a world that has no limits. Fruitfulness. But what stops that? Dishonor. So dishonor has to be uprooted. That brings me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13, or 15 rather, Matthew chapter 15, And verse 13, the word of God says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. He didn't say should. He said shall. If my heavenly Father did not plant it, rooted out. But what is the context of that statement? What's the context of that statement? Let's start it from verse 1 real quickly. I'm going to read primarily through most of it. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. They were of Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the city of peace, saying, this is what they were saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. When I read that, I said, yeah, that's like what's happening today. Yeah. Did you wash your hands? Did you use your sanitizer? Listen, I'm not belittling any of that. You know, I use a sanitizer. I even have one right here. We have sanitizers in every entrance here in this building. But it is at a time, and you know, when God is going to do this, one of the main issues you're thinking about was, did they wash their hands? Verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You're transgressing the commandment of God with your tradition. Verse 4, what commandment are they transgressing? Watch this. For God commanded, saying what? Honor thy what? Father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. The death. That's the death of total separation. Why? Because you've refused to honor father and mother. Therefore, it will never be well with you. You have taken on the curse. He says, you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. In other words, you should be satisfied that I even smiled at you. It's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Listen, you're on your own because you gave birth to me, so what do you want? Just the very fact that, you know, that I'm here, you should be happy, and so on and so forth. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. You're going to be free because you were there. You helped him and your mother do dishes, but now I'm grown. Forget you. He says, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Watch this, ye hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You had your own agenda. You're never here. You had your own agenda. Watch this. But in vain They do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, that's important because what we are here to preach about is about the Lord. If you want psychology, go to school, go read psychological books. If you want to know 10 steps to becoming a millionaire, go find your 10 steps somewhere else. But in here, we're going to preach the word of the Lord. We may have another section over there where we have a study about how you can be the best this and have the wonderful marriage and all of that. But right in here, the main focus is the word of God. But we've taken the teachings of the world and brought it to the church. Because what we are wanting to do is to give to people their so-called felt needs. And their soul is starving for the truth of God. God did not call me to go build up people's ego. And any message that is just focused on making you a better you, it's a message that is not born from the heartbeat of God, because God wants to uproot all of you and replace you with Himself. Not a better me. I need to be conformed into His image, whereby I cry out, Abba, Father. I'm to be more like Him. Not a better man, a better woman. God is not settling for a better me. He actually wants me dead and Him alive in me. Praise the Lord. He says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Notice he didn't say the commandments of God. He says the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Come here. Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. It's not what you eat that is defiling you. It's that which is coming out of you that is defiling you. Now, that's an interesting statement, because we need to explore what this that cometh out of the mouth is. That which cometh out of the mouth, he's referencing to the words that are coming out of you. But the words that are coming out of you are words that are inside of you. They are not inside of you because they came. It came through your mouth gate. It came through your hearing. The word of God is the word of faith. In other words, it is not that which goeth into the man that defileth the man. Wonder, you know, as far as he is concerned, it's not that you ate pork that defiled you. But what defiled you is that I said to you, don't eat that. And you disobeyed my instruction. Now that created defilement. Capish? What instruction God gave to you that you did not listen to is what defiles you. And sometimes what God said to you is not the same thing as what God said to her or to him or to you. I was ministering to saints around the world through Zoom the other day. And somebody asked me, he said, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? That what is sin to one person may not be sin to the other person. I said, understand that sin is missing the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. And God has a particular mark for you to hit, a particular assignment for you. And you cannot switch off and start doing the assignment of somebody else because whatever it is that they are doing is profiting them. That's not your assignment. That's not your assignment. If God called you to be a doctor, don't start doing everything to become an accountant. That's sin. That's you missing the mark. But how do you address that? You address that by not following the dictates of men, but by consulting with God and saying, God, I am here. I'm 20 years old. I'm 30 years old. You have a will for my life. I want to do your perfect will. So, Lord, what is it that you've assigned for me to do? God says that that is my daily bread. When you say, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus says to us, my bread is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. Your daily bread is your daily assignment. You may not know everything that God is calling you to do, but know that God has an assignment for you every day. And that which must be uprooted is that inability to connect with God, to acknowledge God in all of your ways, because acknowledging God in all of your ways is you honoring God. Saying, God, I'm not going to do a thing without consulting with you first. I must inquire of you and hear your heartbeat about what you want done today. And God says, this is what I want you to do. It may mean nothing to you. It may look like something totally immaterial, but God daily is training you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was about to tell them something, and I hesitated. I said, Lord, why am I hesitating? He says, because I don't want you to say that. Now, what I was about to say, there was nothing wrong about it. But what was important was that I listened to the instruction not to say it. Now, a few hours later, I was talking to somebody else. And he says, you can say it. So I said the same thing that I didn't say to somebody else, but it was about training me to obey the instruction. Capish? And that is honor. Listening to the instruction. Let's go to 12. Remember, we're talking about the same thing so far. It's about honor. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? That's the next thing God needs to uproot from our lives. The spirit of offense. I'm offended. I'm offended because you said this. I'm offended because you said that. I'm offended because you did not say this. I'm offended because you did not do this. Forget about offense. That will be uprooted. Because if you live in the world of offense, you will never accomplish the vision of God. Two main things that will offend. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. Give your head a shake and think a different thought. Think a totally different thought. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a word to speak to us as a congregation. Don't allow any offense. Have I had opportunity as a minister of God to be offended? Oh, Lord God Almighty. If you walked with me every day, you say, how on earth did you take that? How on earth were you quiet about that? Because people can be offensive. I've had people come into my office and point their finger at me like this, raging. And I'm sitting down there and, what on earth is going on here? How did the devil get into you so much that you are able to act like this? No offense. Remember when I was 40 years, I celebrate 40 years, was having on my 40th birthday, I had one of the biggest onslaught of the enemy. I don't know what devil hit people. It was like 80% of the church went berserk. Accusing, and whatever they were accusing had nothing. It was empty. And I'm sure that most of those people that day, after the step, I said, what were we talking about? If I was going to be offended, that would have been the day I would have been offended. No offense. Because I know getting offended gets you nowhere in God. It has to be uprooted. If you want to make it, really make it in the kingdom of God, you cannot allow any room for offense. And here comes the disciples, and they said, you know what? They're offended because you're talking about this honor thing. You know, you're talking about this honor thing, and they're offended at you because you were talking about it, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. What is the characteristic of the plant that my Father did not plant? It gets offended. It operates in dishonor. It is stuck with traditions of men which make the word of God of non-effect. Traditions. We've always done it this way. We've always done it that way. So you've always done it that way. God wants a different way. I remember many years ago, we were doing a lot of illustrative sermons and a lot of drama and stuff. And one day the Lord says to me, he says, shut it down. I don't want no drama. Obeyed. We're having our GAP. Remember GAP? Well, we turned the banquet hall was like it was like a nightclub. Battle of the bands. We served mocktails and we had, you know, saints serving food, and the place was packed up with youth all over the place. Inside, outside, we had all these big screens, you know, had lights going, and it was fun. And all of a sudden the Lord says, shut it down. The same God who said do it said, shut it down. Okay, sir. We shut it down immediately. Why? Because you've got to listen to the instruction of God. You're not going to settle for this gold here. Oh, look, how can we shut it down? It's very successful. It's really nice. So we shut it down, and all of those people vamoosed. So what was that being built on? Was that being built on the truth of God? the commandment of God or the systems of the world. And understand, God has no problems with the light. He was the one who showed up with a chariot of fire. He knows how to do the flash. But that's not the way I want it done. The way I want it done is for you to be able to look and see him and say, my father, the armies, the hosts of Israel. You are the one who represents what God is doing. You cannot go without doing what you said you're going to do. It's not this flash. Forget about this flash. If I need flash, I'll find flash. But I cannot miss out on honor. No. I'm going to connect with that. Connected with it. And God glorified this man with a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And he did twice as much major miracles and twice as much minor miracles. He died short of one miracle that was going to make it fully double-double. And there were some people that were coming against Israel, and there's this guy, he's dead and carrying his body. And saw the enemy coming, and they dumped the body inside the place where Elisha's body was. And the man jumps up alive, complete. God completes his promises. Amen? If God makes you a promise, it will come to pass. Don't start getting yourself all wound up about this, about that. Settle yourself. What he said, he will bring to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. I declare this day that you are blessed and highly favored. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that anything that needs to be uprooted out of your life, out of your family, out of your ministry, out of your calling, out of this church, out of our lives as God's people, be uprooted immediately, because God is declaring it. Operation uprootion. Amen. In Jesus' name. So that the fruitfulness of God will be made manifest. This strong man must be bound and his house spoiled, so that we can take back that which belongs to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the glorious name of Jesus, I declare the grace of God sufficient. Thank you, Father, for glorious things happening in our lives this day. Thank you, Lord, for the transformative work of grace. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we're established by your love. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our givings. And as we honor him, let us understand that one of the things God really wants to uproot from our lives is the spirit of blindness. We started out talking about the blindness that Jesus, our Lord, dealt with. That was one of the last miracles he did. One of the last miracles, other than the colt that was tied, that was released. One of the last miracles Jesus did was setting those blind men free. And the 14th verse of that chapter tells us, it says, these men are blind leaders of the blind. And God does not want that in our lives. He says, forget about this of people getting offended. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If the offended lead the offended, they will both fall into the ditch. If the dishonoring lead the dishonoring people, they both fall into the ditch. Don't join yourself with that which dishonors the purposes of God. And one of the ways you can dishonor God is when you don't honor Him with your giving. Hear that? My God shall meet all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But the context of that passage is about giving. This time with COVID-19 and stuff, it's easy to encourage people not to give. But there's no better time for us to give, because this makes your giving the precious. Because in the natural, you want to keep it, save for some rainy day. What if I don't get a job, if I lose my job? Guess what? If that's what you believe in God for, you're going to lose your job. Therefore, you're not going to give now. You're going to lose that job. That's exactly what's going to happen. But if you believe God, that He's your source and your provider, you won't lose your job. Because your faith is not on your job being your source. Amen? So I just encourage you to just continue to faithfully just honor God and see how God meets your need. I know He does. I've experienced it. But you cannot tell from my giving patterns any year that seemed to be like a drought year. You cannot. It's impossible. Because my faith is not in that. My faith is, God, give me seed. And when He gives it, turns back to Him. And He faithfully meets every need. I know He will do it for you. So honor God with your giving. And may I remind you that this Wednesday will be a Bible study, regular Bible study. But starting on Thursday, the 21st, we are going to start days of meetings at 6:30 every evening right through to the 31st. We're going to end this month with meetings. Started this month with my spiritual father and, you know, a time of fasting and so on and so forth, because from the 1st to the 20th, those are days of fasting with my spiritual father and the MCWA family. But we're going to continue. We're going to take that baton and we're going to complete the race and finish up strong. Join us together. And I look forward to being with you here Wednesday and then continuing every evening from there to the end of the month, hearing what God has to say to us as His people. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And may the goodness of God be revealed unto you in every area. Everything contrary to you is right now being uprooted to the glory of God and for your benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Good night.